It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Prime Minister, how are you?
Morena, not bad, thank you.
Good, that's good to hear. Hey, we've got a few topics to jump through this morning. We're going to talk about the border quarantine situation at the moment, touch base on the big climate change risk assessment report that's just been released, and talk about tenancy law changes too. So let's start with the quarantine. There is going to be a fee for some New Zealanders returning to New Zealand, but not for those who were overseas before the pandemic or who are moving home permanently or also returning on compassionate grounds. And there are also a few other exemption reasons too. If we have got so many exemption scenarios, why are we doing the charges at all?
Well, actually, it will cover quite a large number of New Zealanders, because basically if you're here and you're choosing to go away, then you'll be charged, because essentially you're already in New Zealand, you're already safe, and if it's at your discretion, then there will be charging. If anyone's overseas and they choose to come home just for a holiday, they're charged as well for short stints of time in New Zealand. But what we've drawn a distinction around are those who have a choice, and those who are already offshore and through no fault of their own have lost their jobs, find themselves in a situation where they need to come back. One of the reasons that we've struck the distinction is because we did want to find a balance, and also because we did have to be mindful of creating a barrier to New Zealanders rightfully coming back to the place that they're legally able to reside. And so making sure we've got a regime that will stand a test if ever challenged.
So how much leeway is there going to be for people who have personal emergencies, death or illness in a family, for example, or who can't afford the cost of, I guess, emergency travel and then also the quarantine fee?
Yeah, so that's where, if it's legitimate, a legitimate emergency, death, so on, then we do have the exemption regime around it. Otherwise, though, if you're popping back to New Zealand for, you know, a short stint, you know, to spend time at a family reunion, people just need to make sacrifices right now. If they are willing and can afford to pay, they can. If they can't, unfortunately, our view is that we just shouldn't have the taxpayer pick that cost up.
And talking about our current quarantine situation, two young people aged 16 and 17 who absconded with their mother from managed isolation to try and visit their father's body before the tangi the following day will now be facing the youth court. This seems very punitive to be charging the young people in this situation. Are you comfortable with this, Prime Minister?
Well, just a couple of things there. Obviously, I'm not the one that makes charging decisions, and it would be a massive overreach for me to make any comment on that. We obviously need to keep a distinction here between me and the justice system. But I do think just in that case, it's worth keeping in mind, you know, there were a couple of things about that case background details there that we have shared. This was a family where we knew that they had sought an exemption to be able to spend time with their deceased family member's body, not go to a funeral, because of course that poses a lot of risk, but to spend time with the body. We'd received that request, that the family were told that they would only have to wait, I believe it was another hour, before that decision would be made.
I believe that the mother of that family, in a conversation with Lisa Owen on Checkpoint last week, she seemed to be under the impression that she wasn't expecting a phone call necessarily to say that she was going to be told that, yes, they could go and visit the body. She was more waiting for just another call in a long line of calls.
I've had a pretty explicit set of details around what was communicated to the family. But again, I'm not judge and jury here, and also we need to let them make those decisions. Ultimately, though, what I am going to stand by, not the decisions that are made around how the repercussions, what I am going to stand by here is how important it is that this regime really is tight. You know, we only need to look at Victoria's to see why we have to take this so seriously. And there are people caught in devastating circumstances who are coming back to New Zealand, and I absolutely acknowledge that, and I don't want to diminish how hard that is for those individuals. But what is risked if people don't follow the rules is that no one can go to a funeral, and that no one can be with a loved one who's unwell, because people are making decisions that jeopardise other people. So yes, we're asking some people to take on a burden here, and we are asking people to follow the system and the rules. If families are considered to be be low risk and we can manage those circumstances, we do, but we need them to let us make those judgments, not to escape.
The last thing I just wanted to say before we move on to the next question is just to ask you, I mean, grief is a universal thing, excuse me.
Yeah.
But the processes around death do differ between cultures. Are you confident that the caseworkers working in managed isolation have sufficient understanding of the tikanga of tangihanga in order to manage compassionate exemptions for Māori?
Yes, yes, but also the public health decision-making framework is also the same regardless. And yes, you know, obviously there's cultural practices in a number of circumstances. Of course, if you're a member of the Muslim community, the timeframes are very tight there as well, and we're mindful of all of that. But we also have to, of course, put the overlay then over the top of that around public health and the reason the regime exists in the first place.
Well, now to talk about another large crisis is obviously climate change. The Ministry for the Environment has released its first report on the risks we face as a country from climate change. It's got 43 serious risks that the country faces, which includes things like extreme risk to community well-being, from families being displaced due to flooding, coastal erosion, loss of houses, for example. There are going to be huge costs involved in protecting a community. On top of the COVID situation, how is the government going to pay for this? Because it's starting to look like some big bills racking up.
And one of the things actually that we've been talking with local government New Zealand throughout the term actually has been, where does that liability fall and how do we manage that going forward? So in some cases, you know, we have already seen significant, for instance, flood events, where it's been really clear that with some extra flood protection, renewing stock banks and so on, that actually would make a big difference for communities. There, with the COVID response and recovery work, we've identified some really quick things that can be done in parts of the country that are experiencing the impacts of climate-related weather events. So we've done that. Northland, we've been doing a bit of work. We've just invested in Southland. So those are some examples of where we can, you know, at this time we're creating jobs, but also putting in some adaptation measures. More broadly, though, we do need to keep working with local government because this is a bit of an unresolved issue. We all agree there are challenges here with coastal erosion, the impact on some rather large pieces of infrastructure, but that's something that we continue to do work on.
When will we see some action on this? Because obviously this report's great, but we might not see a plan made for another 1 to 2 years, and then at what point will we actually see this start to be actioned? Is that going to be...
Well, one thing to say there is that none of the... None of that stops the work that we're doing on adaptation and mitigation. All of that is ongoing, with a particular focus over the last 3 years on our government's focus on mitigation. But you're right that we do need to take that further look to what are we doing to make sure that we're appropriately adapting for what we're experiencing. And as I've said, we are already investing in areas where it's very obvious what needs to be done immediately and where there are current risks to communities.
And our last thing I wanted to talk about this morning is the tenancy law potential changes that we might see this week run through Parliament. So tenancy and housing affordability, also the quality of our rental housing, is an ongoing issue in Aotearoa, and we keep coming back to it. What is this new tenancy bill that's being considered potentially going to do to help out renters?
Well, in our minds, it strikes a better balance between the rights of landlords and the rights of tenants, who ultimately both are looking for stable situations. What we're doing now is making sure that when people are coming off longer-term tenancies, that they're moving on to periodic, that you can only alter the cost, the charging for a rental property once in a 12-month period. There are also, there's a range of other changes that are basically around the stability and the rights of a tenant and the reason that you can give for having for moving them on. But we're also putting in some changes that also support people who find themselves in an emergency domestic violence situation to be able to move on more quickly if they can demonstrate those circumstances. But also, on the flip side, if we have a landlord who's assaulted by a tenant, expediting the ways of dealing with that as well. So in our mind, it's about bringing greater fairness and balance into a relationship where there are more and more people who are renting.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Prime Minister. Next time we speak to you, I'm sure we'll be well into election sort of season as well. It's been gearing up all year, even though there is a pandemic going on. So that's going to be really interesting to see across the country what that rolls out like. So thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Look forward to catching up then. Cheers.
Thanks.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.